Let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16. I honestly don't see a lot of you folks on Sunday morning. I'm usually with all the little kids out in junior church, so I don't see a lot of folks on Sunday morning. I wish I could, but just requires me to be out there. They're kind of a full time deal out there. But I kept wanting, instead of doing, you know, the four time beat, I kept wanting to do like in right out right up right down right, you know, do all that stuff. That's the kind of songs I know how to sing. So, Exodus chapter number 16. If you find that, let's stand for the reverence of the reading of God's word. Exodus chapter number 16. We're going to read just a few verses. I'll let you sit down, and then we're going to jump around in this chapter and a few more spots in the Bible. So, let's notice in verse, start in verse number 1. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole multitude, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Let's pray this morning. Father, I do thank you for this morning once again. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this pulpit. Lord, don't take it for granted. I pray that you would help all the services that are going on at the same time as this one is. And Lord, I pray for Brother Levi as he's doing the junior church, and Brother Nathan as he's doing the others, Lord. And I pray that you just bless him and help him. Father, I pray that you just guide my words this morning. Help this to be a challenge and a blessing to folks this morning. And Lord, above all, I pray that you just be glorified in everything I say. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Throughout life, each one of us is given a certain path that we must travel, a road that we must traverse. Life is full of paths that we must walk, but in the course of life, we are often presented with opportunities for a shortcut. And I want to talk about that this morning. I want to talk, if I was to title this, it would be Shortcuts Lead to Shortages. Shortcuts Lead to Shortages. Now, be perfectly honest with me this morning, because I will be very transparent with you this morning. How many has ever tried to take a shortcut? I'm just going to leave it at that. How many has ever taken a shortcut? We'll just leave it at that. How many, okay, here's the next one. How many has taken a shortcut that did not work? If you would look around, you saw most of the same hands raised. Because I have found out in life, and I think most of you would agree with me, most shortcuts really aren't that much shorter. I'm not a real competitive, but I am competitive, all right? And, you know, you get, like, when I used to live out by where my mom and dad live, Preacher lives just, you know, 3/4 of a mile. So we go basically the same route, but there's 6 different ways to get there, right? So, you know, I'm stuck behind Preacher, which, don't get me wrong, he drives a speed limit. And I'm stuck behind him, and you know, so I decide I'm going to take a shortcut. So I decide I'm going to get around and go the other way. And, you know, you pull up to the stop sign. Yes. And there he goes. Right on by it. Man. And, you know, that's the way life is sometimes. You think, this is going to get me ahead in life. This is really going to do what I want it to get done. And just when you pull up to the stop sign and think, I just made it, you see somebody that was, you know, the same area you were. You look down the road and they're a mile ahead of you already. And it's like, man, that shortcut didn't work. And a lot of times, folks, we take shortcuts in life. And I want to talk about this morning. And, you know, a lot of times most of the shortcuts we take aren't short time-wise. And a lot of times they cost us in the long run. And anybody would know this. If you follow a recipe, you try to take a shortcut, it really doesn't work out most of the time. There's a reason that they have a recipe. And fellas, if you're working on a car or something, you got a car, you know, you got a Chilton's or a Haynes out there in front of you, and it says, you know, you got to take out this bolt before you can take it off. You know, you got to take out this bolt before you can get that transmission dropped. Well, you don't take that bolt out. Well, I'm just going to take a shortcut. I'll just use a big pry bar. Good luck at that, all right? Because in the end, you might break that bolt off. But you know how much time you're going to spend drilling it out and tapping it? A lot longer than you would have been if you had just taken some more time and gotten the bolt out the way the instructions said to do. So I'm going to talk about that this morning. Let's continue down here. If you would notice that God told them that he was going to give them a certain rate every day. All right, so let's jump down in verse number 14, the same chapter, Exodus chapter 16, verse number 14. Follow along in your Bibles. We're going to use our Bibles this morning, so if you've got your Bibles, young people, follow along. It'll help you. Exodus chapter 16, verse number 14. The Bible says, "And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, 'It is manna,' for they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, 'This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating.'" All right, so this is what, I want you to notice what God commands here. All right, these are the instructions God has given. "Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons." An omer for, I'll just tell you, is about 6.7 pints. So, you know, a little over 3 quarts, all right? So 6.7 pints. But that was, you say, man, that's a lot. But that's for all day. This is to last them all day until the evening when the quail would come up and they would get quail during the night. So this has to last them all day. It says in the bottom part of verse 16, "Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." All right, so very specific instructions here. They went out every morning. And if you'll notice, I could read this. In verse 21, look at verse 21 with me. "And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted." So it was very much like the hoarfrost, what it was talking about. So when the sun came up, just like you folks, you go out, you know, a nice crisp fall morning, and you go out and you can watch the sun progress across the yard because it, you know, you've got a white yard that's covered with the heavy frost, and the sun comes across and it's very slowly melted and it changes the color of the yard. Well, the children of Israel, it was one way of God getting them up early in the morning. He said, "All right, if you want to eat, you're getting up early. And you're going to go out and you're going to get your food, because once the sun comes up, it's going to melt away." All right? And so the children of Israel did this, and God told them, each person can get an omer, 6.7 pints, okay? And so they would gather it, and they didn't necessarily take an omer measuring with them, but someone would gather more than an omer, and some of them might gather less, but when they put it into the scale, all right, if somebody had more, they would skim that off and put it into somebody else's thing that had less. That's what the Bible's talking about. So some that gathered more had nothing over. Some that gathered less, they had no lack. Okay, so God had it very well systematically planned, and he had directions for these folks here. This is what you're supposed to do. These are exactly what you're supposed to do. But I want you to notice, as always, there are a few people that want to take a shortcut. Okay, and let's look in verse number 19. We're going to start there. And the Bible says, "And Moses said, 'Let no man leave of it till the morning.'" So Moses said, don't keep of it any of it till tomorrow morning. But of course, there's going to be some that decide, they don't know what they're talking about, all right? We keep bread for a long time, so why not keep manna for a long time? So instead of getting up, let's say it's Monday morning, okay? So they gather Monday morning, and, you know, Pete and Martha, they decide that, sorry if your name's Pete or Martha, but just whatever came to my mind. But Pete and Martha, they decide, well, we want to sleep in Tuesday morning. We don't want to get up because, remember, they have to get up before when? The sun comes up and melts everything. So they decide they don't want to get up early Tuesday morning. So Pete and Martha go out and they gather 4 omers, 2 for each of them. Okay? And they decide, well, we'll just keep an omer for today. And then tomorrow morning, instead of getting up early, we can sleep in, take a vacation, you know, kind of a snooze thing. And, you know, hit the alarm clock several times. I'm right there. All right? And we can just, we'll eat the extra food the next morning. But look at verse number 20. "Notwithstanding, they," this is Pete and Martha, "hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them." So can you imagine in the morning, you know, Pete wakes up, "Oh, Martha, what is that smell?" And, you know, "What? What is that smell?" "I don't know. Well, go out in the kitchen and look. You know, he's still in bed. So she goes out there and she opens up her pot that has the manna in it for Tuesday morning. The sun has already come up, folks. The sun has already come up. The sun's burnt off all the manna for that day. She opens it up and it's crawling with worms. Looks like one of those dead carcasses you see that's got maggots in it. All right? That when you look at it, you look at it and then you take a second glance because it's moving. Okay? And she opens it up and their manna for that day is gone. They have a shortage at this point. And you know, I think probably that the whole rest of that day, they probably kind of regretted taking that shortcut. About breakfast time, oh man, I'm hungry. Man, we should have done what the prophet said to do. Come, you know, mid-afternoon, man, I'm hungry. We shouldn't have taken that shortcut. And folks, in life, God's given us directions right here. God's given you directions. He's given every one of us, from the youngest person in here to the oldest, every one of you could hold in your hand the King James Bible. And that is the directions for life. That's what God has said. This is what you need to do. All right? But oftentimes, human nature, and me included, I'm including myself in this morning, we want to take a shortcut. Well, God doesn't really know what he's talking about. We don't have to do that. All right? And we want to take a shortcut from that. Let's look at verse number 23. Okay? Let's look at verse 22. And the Bible says, "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for every man, or two omers for one man, and the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses." All right? So God's commandment was on the sixth day, which would have been like basically their Friday. He said, "You need to gather two," which is what Pete and Martha tried to do on Monday. But was that what God told them to do on Monday? No, it wasn't. All right? So, but on Friday, they were supposed to gather two omers for every person. All right? So Pete and Martha, they've had a bad experience already on Monday and Tuesday. All right? Well, they decide, well, we're not going to take that. Maybe we heard wrong, or we don't want to do the extra work that it took. I mean, can you imagine over six pints of basically a coriander seed, which I would think is smaller than like a peppercorn? So every morning they got to go out. I don't know if they had some nifty little, you know, shovel that they used or what they used, but every morning I don't think it would be real easy to go across the ground, all right, and pick up hoarfrost until you got almost four quarts of it. That's not real easy, okay? So they didn't want to do the extra work on Friday. So Saturday morning, which would be the Sabbath, Saturday morning they woke up and get up early to go out and get their manna for the day. But when they go out, there's nothing there because they tried to take another shortcut. All right? And folks, in life, I've done this in life. You know, I'll spend an hour, 2 hours working on something, trying to take a shortcut, when in the end, it would have really been beneficial to me to actually just get it done, do the work, and get it done. And I think most of you could relate to me on that. In fact, I brought an illustration this morning. Most of you know I like illustrations, all right? And some of you are going to laugh at me, all right? This is the loaf of bread, all right? But the funny thing is I made this loaf of bread, all right? So I don't know if you want to eat this loaf of bread or not, all right? That might be, I'm going to show you something really funny here in a minute. But I made this loaf of bread last night just because my wife was really busy and she was trying to get stuff done. So I'm going to stick this right here, all right? It's heavy, too. I bet that sucker weighs 2 pounds, all right? It's said to make 4 loaves of bread, all right? Well, I was like, I don't have 4 loaf pans, you know what I mean? So I just shoved a bunch of it in one, and it just, all right? No, I had two. I had 2 loaf pans, but that's kind of what you get for not following the recipe, right? But, all right, now, that was my recipe. This is my wife's loaf of bread. She made this one for me last night, all right? Now, I like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, all right? And I think most of you probably would eat peanut butter jelly or lunch meat sandwich if you had to. I don't know, guys. I'll just ask the expert eaters up here. How many would like a piece of a peanut butter and jelly on this bread or on this bread? Yeah, there you go, JoJo. Right here. This loaf of bread. He's an eating machine, all right? If you've never seen him eat, he can eat like a horse, all right? We want, everybody would agree, you would want this loaf of bread, okay? Now, granted, you may not want it since you know that I made it, all right? But if you just seen this in the store, you're like, what is that, All right, that is a bad experiment gone wrong. All right, so you want this loaf of bread. Okay, now it's a very simple illustration. But you know what the difference in these two loaves of bread is? My wife took a shortcut. This loaf of bread right here is missing one ingredient that this loaf of bread is, and about 3 hours of time. Any ladies want to take a guess? Yeast. Yeah. Missing one ingredient and three. This I labored over this loaf of bread last night. I did. It took me, this recipe is supposed to take like 15 minutes to make, mix up. It took me like, Brother Josh, it took me like an hour just to mix it up. And then I'm sitting there, you know, I'm working on my message, because I did this just for today. And I'm working on my message, and, you know, I'm looking at my watch, because this thing's supposed to rise for like 2 hours, and then you're supposed to beat it, which I did really good at that. You beat it, and then it's supposed to rise for another 10 minutes, and then you're supposed to put it in loaves of bread, and then stick it in the oven. No, it's got to rise for another. It's supposed to rise for like 3.5 hours. It didn't take her 30 minutes, and she had this thing in the oven. But you know what, folks? It's not the same product. It's not the same product. We both looked at the exact same recipe, but she did two different things. One, she didn't add yeast, which was a very important ingredient. And two, she didn't take the time that she needed to let it fully develop, which it wouldn't have done anything anyway because it didn't have the yeast in it. Okay? But folks, you see what I mean by sometimes we just want to get things done. Young people, you just want to get things done in life. Oh, I just got to, you know, I'm 15 and I haven't done anything in life. I don't even have a boyfriend or girlfriend. You know, God has a plan for you. But if you try to take a shortcut, young people, or adults, you try to take a shortcut in life, you don't get the finished result. Everybody wants to go, oh man, I'd love to, you don't, ladies, I'm sure don't want to make a piece of bread like this, but man, I'd love to make a nice loaf. But if you don't follow the recipe, you can't expect to get the same results, okay? I'm going to look at three areas this morning, and I want you to stay with me. Three areas this morning that I believe that we take shortcuts in. Three areas that we take shortcuts in. Two of them, if you go to the Bible, I believe that you have relationships between others, and you have your relationship between God. And you know, folks, a lot of times we take shortcuts in both of those areas. And we want an end result, but we don't follow in the recipe that God's given us in the Bible. So the first thing, shortcuts in our relationships with others. Shortcuts in our relationships with others. And I just want to be a blessing to you. Just open your hearts, just open your minds, and let the Holy Spirit talk to you. You know, me and my wife, we look at a lot of older couples here in the church. And we look at Pastor and Mrs. Ross, and we look at folks like the Maoris and the Alleys and Townsleys and Brother Jack and Miss Penny. And we look at folks like that. And there's others too. And you think, you know, I'd like to have a happy marriage like that. Like Brother Don and Miss Debbie, was it 44 years? What is it? 43 years. All right. Brother Bob and Miss Kim, 32 years. Man, wouldn't that be great? And young people, I think that's something to strive for. Wouldn't it be great to have a marriage that would last, you know, 43 years, 32 years? You know, other people in here that have wedding anniversaries over 50 years. Wouldn't it be great? But you know what? A lot of times, folks, we don't see the hard work that those people have put into that anniversary that they've had. We don't see the times that, you know, the husband had to give of himself. What does the Bible say, folks? Husbands, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Christ gave him everything for the church. And as husbands, even me personally, sometimes I just feel really selfish sometimes. I don't want to give to my wife. I want to go get my own toys or whatever I want to do. And we're not willing to sacrifice. And then what does the Bible say about the wives to their husbands? Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands. And you know, we want the product. We want the finished product. But we're not willing to follow the recipe. And we're not willing to put the ingredients into it that God has. Hey folks, like I said, in the Bible, God tells you how to have a happy marriage. Pastor Ross here in the pulpit will tell you how to have a happy marriage. But a lot of times, well, we'll do okay. We'll just skip that step. Okay. Skip it. And you'll get the result of skipping it. All right? Our relationships in our marriage. Hey, what about our relationships with our kids? You know, I look at, there's folks in here, you've got kids that turned out great. And I want to exemplify that in my children. I want my children to grow up to serve God. I do. That's one of my... If I can get my children to serve God and grow up to serve God, I feel like I've maybe accomplished something in life. You know, that's the only lasting thing that I really have is the people I influence, but more specifically my children. And but if I don't, you know, well, I can't believe how they discipline their children. Okay? You're skipping a step. You want the you want the final product? Then you have to follow the steps that God laid down in the Bible. All right? Our relationships with others. Young people, you want a happy marriage, but you want to take the shortcuts before marriage. All right? Oh, I want a happy marriage like those people in church. But you don't want to follow the rules and the regulations that pastor has set, not because of his opinion, but they're Bible-based facts. All right? And folks, we have to follow what the Bible says because shortcuts do lead to shortages. Shortcuts do lead to shortages. You're robbing your future mate, young people, by taking shortcuts now. You're robbing them. And you'll never, ever, ever be able to wipe those memories, wipe those thoughts from your mind by taking shortcuts now. You have to follow the recipe. Because if you don't follow the recipe, it's worthless. I mean, honestly, I'm not doing anything. I got a dog I might feed this to. Maybe, if he can chew it. I'm not giving this to anybody. I wouldn't trust it. I mean, it's kind of gross, to be quite honest. And that's the way your life will end up. Who wants that? Who wants a product that's supposed to be, you know, if this was supposed to be look like this, yeah, maybe. I mean, this is like communion bread. I mean, seriously, am I wrong? It's unleavened bread. I mean, I have to have the juice after communion just to get mine down. I don't want a whole thing of it, all right? If it's supposed to be something, that's one thing. But if it's supposed to be a nice loaf of bread, nobody wants it, all right? And nobody wants your life unless you follow what the recipe, what the Bible says. Our relationships with each other. What about friends? I hear this a lot. Well, nobody's my friend. I don't have any friends at school. Hey, there's an interesting verse in the Bible, Proverbs 18:24. I'll just read it to you. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there's your friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Hey, what about that? There's a recipe right there to having friends. Well, what is it, Brother Chad? Be a friend. Be a friend. Hey, there's folks in here this morning. This is folks in here, well, I just don't have anybody that really is a friend to me. Well, maybe just you ought to just step over and say, hi, how are you? And you never know when you might develop a friendship. All right? I don't have any friends. Well, are you following the recipe? Our relationships with others. So we take shortcuts in our relationships with others. And I won't be long this morning, I promise. I'm already done with page one, and I've only got two pages, so you're in good luck. What about our shortcuts in our relationships with God? Our shortcuts in our relationships with God. So we have shortcuts in our relationships with others. I'm not willing to invest in others the way I ought to. So instead of getting good friendships, a good marriage, good children, I end up with something that nobody wants. And a lot of times we want to take those shortcuts, but they never pay off. Shortcuts in our relationships with God. How many would ever like to walk on water? I would. I think it'd be pretty cool. You never have to buy a boat. All right? You can go fishing, Brother Randy, in places unbelievable. All right? I'd love to be able to do that. And just be able to, you know, be walking across the water, you know, scare people to death would be pretty cool too. All right? But we want the prayer power, all right? We want the power that Jesus had, all right? But we do not, look up here, we want the power that Jesus had, but we do not want to spend the time in prayer that Jesus had to spend. I want you to go someplace with me, Mark chapter 6. Turn your Bibles, we hear the pages flipping. Mark chapter 6. Poor guy's probably had a long night or two. Mark chapter 6. This is a story of Jesus walking on the water. I want you to notice something very interesting here. Mark chapter 6, verse number 45. The Bible says, "And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray." Did you catch that? And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Did you notice what pre-circumvented Jesus walking on the water? His time alone in prayer on the mountain. Do you know, I think one reason that Peter, when he took, three steps and started to sink, was because Peter hadn't just spent all night praying on top of a mountain. Folks, we want the prayer power of John R. Rice. We want the prayer power of George Mueller. We want the prayer power of Lester Roloff. We want the prayer power of Pastor Ross. But you realize how much time they spend on their knees before God in prayer? And we just, Lord, thank you for this food. Amen. Three times a day, all right, and you're done. No prayer in the morning to help you during the day. Do you realize how much more you might get accomplished if you just spend that extra time in prayer every morning? But we want to take a shortcut. Well, I woke up early, I ain't got time. Hey, I'm guilty of that. I wake up early. I wake up late. And it's like, oh, I ain't got the time. But do you really not have the time? Because I've noticed if I don't pray in the morning, my day is terrible. I could have got more if I would have spent 10 minutes praying. That's nothing. 10 minutes isn't going to make you or break it. Then. But that 10 minutes that you don't spend in the morning, it will break you later. Right. That shortcut that you're trying to take will lead to a shortage later on in your day, in your life. Yeah. All right? So spend that time in prayer. Spend that time in prayer. What about your Bible reading? A lot of times we want to take shortcuts in our Bible reading. Hey, folks, you come to church Sunday morning. I'm thrilled to see everybody here on Sunday morning. But you realize that I do not eat one time a week.
No, that's right.
I don't even eat one time a day. I usually eat 3 or 4, sometimes 5 times a day. All right? Can't you tell? All right? I do. I eat. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I only eat 2 meals a day. Just depends on when food's accessible. All right? But I don't eat physically one time a week. And you shouldn't eat spiritually one time a week. You shouldn't. I'm going to go as far as say you shouldn't eat spiritually 3 times a week. If I only ate 3 times a week, I would probably die. Seriously. Honestly. My metabolism's so high, my body would just probably shut down. I couldn't eat just 3 times a week. You have to eat every day spiritually. You got to get in your Bible every day spiritually. You got to eat every day spiritually. I heard somebody say recently, they were talking about some relation of theirs, and they're like, well, they just don't feel like they're getting fed at church. I was like, well, maybe because of their location. I mean, Pastor Ross gives you 5 meals every Sunday morning. You can't ingest everything that Pastor gives to you. You just can't absorb it all. Okay? I mean, I could have 20 pizzas up here. Will 20 pizzas supply me for a week? Yeah, it'd be pretty close. But I can't eat them all in one sitting and expect it to last me all week. It takes a steady diet. And folks, the same way is true. You can't take a shortcut in your Bible reading and expect to be healthy. You can't do it. You can't take shortcuts in that type of thing and expect to be a healthy Christian. All right? Psalms 119, 105. Let's turn over there. I'm going to have you use your Bible. Psalms 119, 105. Hey, what about Matthew chapter 4? Keep going to Psalms 119. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is up on top of a mountain and the devil is tempting Jesus. And what does Jesus use to combat that? Scripture, the Word of God. That's exactly right. But what if Jesus wouldn't have ate that week before? Well, I'm just going to skip my Bible reading for this week. He would have had no power wherewith to fight Satan at that time of temptation. Psalm 119, 105. The Bible, folks, is your direction for life. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have written down here, a lamp starts you. You walk outside your house and you've got a house lamp sitting on the porch there. A lamp starts you, but a light guides you. and you know the Bible's both. The Bible will get you started off. That's why it's important to read your Bible every morning. The Bible gets you started off right. And if you take some of those scriptures, write them out on a card or memorize them or meditate on them, not only will it start you right, but it will lead you right during that day. So that's what the Bible is to us. So don't take a shortcut in your Bible reading, all right? Don't take a shortcut in that. We want the power over temptation, but we neglect to work on our scripture memorization and our scripture memorization and meditation, all right? So our shortcuts in our relationships with God is our prayer and our Bible. Hey, what about this one? And I know I'm going to get in trouble here, but what about your giving? You know, sometimes we take shortcuts in our giving, all right? Well, I just ain't got the money this week. Okay, you don't have the money right now. So what thinks God's going to bless you later on that week for not giving what you did have? All right? What, you know, we want to, well, God will be all right with 8%. Oof. I've found, folks, and I'm not serious, and there's men in here that could testify, the more you give to God, the more God gives to you. I heard several amens. People are agreeing. Because when God gives to you, God's not giving you to be a sponge that just sucks it all up. God wants you to be a channel that just channels it out to something else, channels it out to somebody else, channels it out to a need, channels it out to your local church. All right? God wants you to be that channel. We all want the blessing of God in our lives, but one of the main ways that we can guarantee His blessings is by giving to His work. Very, very simple verse, Malachi chapter 3. It talks about, will a man rob God? And then over, down in verse number 10, it says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Are we being a good steward of what God has given to us? Are you being a good steward of what God has given to you? Are you being a channel that God can give something to, because God knows that you will give it to somebody else. You will give it to who He leads you to give it to. Are you being that channel? All right, well, we come up with all kinds of excuses. I've heard of people, they pay their school bill. Well, I gave to God. No, you didn't. You gave for a service rendered. That's what that was. Well, I bought some candy for the church buses. Well, great. That's fantastic. But that is not a tithe and offering. Yes, that is not. Well, you can come up with whatever excuse you want to. But are you giving? Hey, what about your time? Time is life. Yes, sir. Are you giving your life? Well, I give my tithes and offerings. Well, that's great. That's great, folks. But are you giving of your life to Christ? Or are you taking a shortcut? Because remember what I said, shortcuts always lead to shortages. Yes, sir. Do you want the end result of a life that's blessed by God? Well, I'll be quite honest with you last night. My wife just didn't have the yeast. She just didn't have it. Well, she did. She had one packet. She had one packet of yeast. Well, I'm just going to hold on to that. I might need it some other time. I think this recipe will come out all right. Think it come out all right? Life doesn't come out all right either. God's given us certain directions. God's given you the recipe, if you will, in His book. And when you follow that recipe, you get the end result of that recipe. But when you neglect to follow that recipe, you get the result of that recipe also. All right? So that was shortcuts in our relationships with God. Those shortcuts would be prayer. Don't take a shortcut in your prayer life, folks. Don't take a shortcut in your Bible reading. Don't take a shortcut in your giving. The last shortcut we're going to talk about this morning, and I really want you to pay attention, is shortcuts to heaven. Shortcuts to heaven. So we've got our shortcuts in our relationships with others. Don't take shortcuts in relationships. All right? They never pan out in the end. Don't take, when the Bible says to do something, do it. Don't take shortcuts in your relationship with God, because they will lead to shortages. And shortcuts in heaven. Jesus, in John chapter 14, would you please turn there with me? John chapter 14, verse number 6. John chapter 14, verse number 6. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Folks, there's only one way to heaven. One way and only one way. And you can't take a shortcut here. I guarantee you cannot take a shortcut here. You may say, Bro Chad, I'm doing really good in my relationships with others. I'm a great husband. But when you get to heaven, and you're standing at the gate in heaven, and God says, why should I let you in? Well, I was a great husband. Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I was a great wife. I was submissive. Well, that's good. That's great. And you might have a pretty happy marriage. But when you get to heaven, you can't take that shortcut to heaven. Hey, you might be a great parent, an absolutely fantastic parent, and your kids may turn out great. But when you get to heaven, you can't tell God, I took the shortcut. I arrived here at the door, and I took this shortcut. God said, I'm sorry. Being a wonderful friend will not place you inside heaven's door. Praying every day will not take you to heaven. Oh, but Brother Chad, I pray every day. Oh, that's great. There is how many billion people over in the Middle East that put us to shame in their prayer lives? That they'll stop work, and whatever they're doing, they will stop work and get on the rug and face east, I think, and pray every day. But when they stand before God and have not accepted Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, God will say, I'm sorry. You tried to take a shortcut. There is no shortcuts to heaven, folks. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You can't get to heaven by praying. You can't get to heaven by reading your Bible. Reading your Bible may teach you to be like Christ, but will never allow you to see Christ in heaven. All right? Giving. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. Luke, just a few pages over. It should be in John. Luke chapter 18. Giving all your goods and time to the things of God will not allow you into heaven's gate. You could give everything you got. You could be a great philanthropologist or whatever they're called. And you could give everything you got to God and to His work. But if you don't accept Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, God's going to look at you and say, sorry, no admittance. No admittance. Luke chapter 18, I think I told you, verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up. So here's a man that has kept the law. He's done everything that the law has told him to do. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Now this is interesting. Sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. Because Jesus knew that there was basically two things standing in the way of this man being saved. One was his riches. Yes. He didn't want to give his riches up to follow Christ. Because if you'll notice at the end of the verse, it says, and follow me. This is stuff, you say, Brother Chad, is that teaching a work salvation? No, it's not teaching a work salvation. God's just seeing if he's willing to give up something in order that he can follow Christ completely. Because you can't serve God and mammon.
That's right.
All right? So God's seeing if he'll follow Christ completely. Hey, all your good works, all your money, coming to church, man, I'm glad to see you here on Sunday morning. But when you stand before God, folks, young people, you stand before God and God says, why should I let you into heaven? Well, I was on church. I was at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, August 10th, 2014. Sorry, no admittance. That's a shortcut. Folks, you can't take a shortcut to heaven. You cannot take a shortcut to heaven. There is one way. That is by faith through grace, trusting in Jesus Christ alone to take you to heaven. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. This will be our last place. Matthew chapter 7. This is a very interesting portion of Scripture to me. I think it speaks a lot sometimes of what we would call church-going people. Brother Chad, I go to church. I'm faithful in church. I go You might even go 3 times a week. That's great. But is this what you will say when you stand before God? Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom. He's got the right wording down. He's got the right wording. He's starting off good. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That's pretty powerful. And I think a lot of folks that go to church, hey, young people, just because you go to church doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just, I could go as far as say this, just because you go to Christian school doesn't mean you go to heaven. Just because you, well, I've led people to Christ. I know a lot of people that have led people to Christ and then a few years later said, well, you know, I had some doubts about my salvation. I wasn't saved. Just because you lead somebody to Christ doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. I can get the verses right here. And if I wasn't saved, I could read and intellectually I could tell somebody how to go to heaven. But it doesn't mean you are. That's what the Bible says here. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Basically, he's saying, God, this is basically a preacher standing there. God, I was a pastor for so many years. And Jesus said to him, sorry, I never knew you. You've never accepted me as your personal Savior. There's men here that said, in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Folks, I want you to pay real close attention to me, and we'll be done. You may be not taking a shortcut in any other area of your life. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there might be somebody in here that says, Bro Chad, I've done some shortcuts in my relationships with my husband or my wife, or I've tried to take shortcuts with my kids, or I've tried to take shortcuts with friends, or I've tried to take shortcuts in my relationship with God. I don't read my Bible like I should, and I don't pray like I should, and I don't give like I should. And Brother Chad, I've tried to take shortcuts. But if that's not you, say, Brother Chad, I've never taken a shortcut. But you try to take a shortcut to heaven, that will be the worst shortcut you have ever made. Because, folks, listen, in life, you can take a shortcut, and a lot of times you can come out, you might be behind the ball, but you can kind of get back on the right road. And that's encouragement to everybody here this morning. Brother Chad, I've taken some shortcuts in life, and I've messed my life up in some ways, okay? But you know what? The nice thing about shortcuts is you can always get back on the right road. Hey, you may have to backtrack some, and you may lose a lot of time, and you may lose a lot of money, and you may lose a lot of stuff in life, but you can get back on the right road. But listen to me, folks. When you're standing at heaven's gate, and you've taken a shortcut to get there, there is no retracking your steps. There is no, let me go back and fix that. There is none. When you arrive at heaven's gate, and you arrive there by the wrong way, what is the way? Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man or woman or child cometh unto the Father but by me. And you stand at heaven's gate and you say, well, I've taken a shortcut. I didn't follow the recipe. You will never, ever, ever see the rewards of heaven. Folks, I hate to be for anybody in here this morning to be in that position when you arrive at heaven's gate. Look at your heart. We're going to have just a few moments of prayer. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Look at your heart. If you say, Brother Chad, I've tried to take some shortcuts. I've tried to just be a good person. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Brother Chad, I've tried to take a shortcut. And I'm afraid I'm trying to take a shortcut to heaven. Remember what I've told you, folks. Once you get to heaven's gate, there is no turning back to redo. You are at heaven's gate, and you will either go one of two places. You will go to heaven or you will go to hell based upon the way that you came. And that is only through Jesus Christ. Folks, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there might be somebody in here this morning. I don't know. Maybe everybody in here might very well be saved. But a congregation this size on this nice August the 10th morning, there is probably some in here that if you stood in front of heaven's in 5 seconds, you would look back and see a shortcut that you've tried to take. Is that you this morning? As the piano plays, if everybody would stand.